I'd like to say good evening to everyone. And I know it's midweek, Wednesday night, and we appreciate your presence. And I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the elders for this opportunity to have to preach the Word of God to you. It's a wonderful thing that they have here for the brethren here to have that opportunity. And it's an echo out to all of our brethren. If you have that opportunity, it's a beautiful thing. It helps me personally to roll up the sleeves and devour and get into God's Word and put all the lesson and hopefully that what I've prepared will be edifying to each and every one of us. I asked Brother Trevor, if he would, to sing about 6 or 7 songs, but I know that I may not be long-winded as Brother Bob or others that we know, but nonetheless, we all are children of God, and the sisters up front, they was just asking me, was I nervous, and Brother Allen wanted to check my pulse rate, and you know, it's, hey, all I know is this, family, we all here, and we trying to get to heaven. I do know that, so it's encouraging to hear everything from everyone, but tonight, for those of you that may not know, my profession, my work, my occupation is basically being a truck driver is what I do. A lot of people think that, oh, he just drive a truck. That's all it is. But I'm here to tell you, point blank, is way more than what you think, that a driver sitting behind a big old wheel, grinding and shifting gears and running all over the lines and sometimes in ditches and other things. But it's way more than what you realize. I am an owner-operator, and I am have a lease agreement with this company in Birmingham called Alabama Carriers Incorporated. And I brought one of their newsletters just to make the point of what the topic for tonight is going to be. This newsletter that we get once a month, every month, I'll just read it as it says. When you get behind the wheel, you are truly ready to roll. That's the question. Conducting a careful pre-trip inspection is the best way to make sure you and your vehicle are ready for whatever lies ahead, including the next roadside inspection. The list below highlights a pre-trip. Make sure that you check your vehicle thoroughly. And this pre-trip is what the DOT has put in place and federal law has mandated, and we do have a book of rules and regulations. And within that rules and regulation, this thing that we call a pre-trip is that what we must do every time we move this vehicle. It is highly imperative that we do, or we will face dire consequences if things go wrong out here on the public roadways. But certain things on a vehicle that we have to look at, we have to check our brakes, lights, tires, horn, windshield, wipers, mirrors, coupling devices, steering, the steering mechanism, emergency equipment, and then, of course, the driver. The driver has to be fit for duty. Well, sometimes when you look in them trucks, you wonder. including the main thing about the driver is his fit for duty is the amount of rest that he receives, the amount of rest and that he get to do his job thoroughly. But also, got to have a medical card. And this medical card, if you don't have that medical card, well, hey, you can't get behind the wheel. But also, I noticed as looking over this newsletter, they had something in here that I thought was funny. They had CDL. Well, hey, if you're not a CDL driver, you can't drive, period. So I was wondering why they put that in there. But anyway, your seat belts, required paperwork, and then also your bill of lading and current insurance and certificates and everything else. Now, there's one thing in here is called the law book. This law book consists of 4 lines. The first line that you see that goes across on you on this sheet, and once I learn how to do PowerPoint more better, then I can show it to you. But if you can visualize, on line 1, you got increments of quarter to an hour all the way across for the whole day. The first line would be your off-duty status. The second line would be your sleeper berth. The third line would be your actual driving time. And after your driving time, you have on duty, not driving. Now, the main focus that DOT is looking at is your driving time and your off duty, the making sure that everything coincides with the roadways. But nonetheless, that's what we have to do. But if we get pulled over and our law books are out of placement, well, that's a high fine that costs from the driver. If Alabama carriers say it's your problem, well, we have to pay that ticket. Well, I like to take what I do and what I have to do every morning. Now, I'm sure that those of you that have different professions, you might be a plumber, you might be an electrician, or a lawyer, or a doctor, or whatever case may have, you got to make sure you're prepared to do that work. So tonight, that's what we're going to look at, and hopefully everything will not be okay because Brother Bob touched something. The question tonight is, how important is your pre-trip? I was thinking on this subject, and I said, well, I presented it once before at the Pleasant Grove congregation. And my thing is, when you look at that pre-trip, we got to realize that on the spiritual nature of this thing, that we do have one final trip. And that one final trip is our inheritance with the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And we have to make sure that we are prepared down here to make that final voyage. And so tonight, I would just like to let you know that the first thing that comes to mind when you look at the pre-trip, these group of words, we need to first understand what the word and group of words really mean. By dictionary standpoint, this word refers to transportation, which means, of course, travel. By dictionary term, it is this. The partial word pre is a prefix for occurring originally in long words from Latin, where it meant before, quote, prelude or prevent, prior in, advanced of, early beforehand, or in front, in time and place. The word trip is defined, as dictionary states, as a journey of voyage, a run made by boat, train, bus, etc., a single course of travel, taken as one's duty with work. Also, a trip can mean as a slip-up, a mistake, an error, or a lapse in conduct or etiquette. Well, as we think about traveling, the traveling that we're going to talk about tonight is a spiritual one. But for us today, as we live here, you know, sometimes we gather up the family at home and we pick out a date on the calendar and we get ourselves prepared to make this wonderful voyage, this event with the family, that we can leave the problems at home and rest our minds and see God's world. It's a beautiful thing. But if you don't prepare to make sure you got the right, well, I don't know, my wife, she really loves coupons and getting the greatest value for the least amount of money. So if you don't prepare, it can be quite costly. So you can see how sometimes if you don't prepare yourself in these type of travels, it can really cost a penny. But now if you think about transportation in the ancient times, they pretty much was on donkeys, mules, camels, horses, of course boats, but the most important thing that they was on is what they came with naturally, and that's their feet. Now, I'm being honest now, Lord knows I couldn't be back there with Moses and then walking across no desert now. I don't think I can handle that, but nonetheless, we're here today, and I'm grateful that I'm here, and I know how to drive for transportation, so it's all good for right now. But the first passage of Scripture we're going to look at tonight is going to be taken from Revelation chapter 4. And thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive the glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and all things for thy pleasure, and were created. Now, the end of the book tells us about this type of creation, which refers me back to the beginning of the Bible, which is in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, of course, tells us that God created everything in this beginning chapter here. And also in the same breath, in the same chapter, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him male and female, created he them. Now in chapter 2, he breathed into the nostrils the breath of life, that man became a living soul. So far right now we see that the creator of heaven and earth and all within created man from the dust of the ground. And therefore with this breath of life he blowed into the nostrils, we have a living soul. And within that living soul, from the dust of the ground that he breathed in, we have, as Scripture states in the New Testament, the writer in Hebrews tells us in chapter 9, 27, 28, appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. So now, briefly, we just now established that God, the Creator of heaven and earth, created man from the dust of the ground, breathed breath into him that made him a living soul. And as in the same breath, it states that we are here is once to live and once to die. So we have one shot at this thing. Also, God never left man without guidance. The Bible shows that God began to communicate his will the very first day that Adam and Eve existed. Some of the first instructions were recorded. For instance, in Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 28 through 30, chapter 2, 15, verse 15 through 17, and as time passed, he, God, revealed other things. You see, the Bible provides evidence of God, what we can know about his purpose, creating us, what we can know about the wisest use of our time left here on earth. It provides the key to your meaningful and purpose-filled life and securing a good conscience for your soul's eternal destiny. The Bible also is a unit of 66 books. The essence of these books is the proof of God. Well, the first 39 was written before Jesus, and the last 27 are written after. They show that he met all criteria of the fulfilled prophecies and powers that provided him to be sent from God. And as you know, one of the verses that we all should know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. This is a trip that should be very important to all of us, because it simply determines what we be for eternity. Now, just think on how well you are ready for this judgment for your soul, in heaven or in hell. You find that the Creator is tugging on our heartstrings, urging us to examine our choices in life and the direction we will take with the rest of our time here on earth. Only God can tell you truthfully what happens next. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, he writes, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Drop down to verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved until the fire against the day of judgment and prediction of ungodly men. But, beloved, be ye not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men account slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and a fervent heat, the element, shall be melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are in, shall be burned up. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be ye diligent that ye be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Family, we have to understand that we can't escape death. Where do you want to go on your last trip, your final voyage, heaven or hell? We are bound by time, but God is not. And the clock is ticking, and we don't know where or when it's going to stop. it's a serious thing that we must take in heart personally and seriously, because one day we are going to pass on. Also, you may have those that's out in the world that think, if I die today, well, I'm ready. After all, I've never done anything really bad, or I don't believe that a merciful God would send me to hell, or I don't know why people, well, some people just think that way. But let's look what the scriptures say. Let's turn to Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 2, familiar passage. But it just emphasizes on our Savior. It states in verse 10 and 11, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Now, it may be mean, but in this same chapter, just a few verses up, it answers itself, those two verses. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and look upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Family, we have to understand that God is still in control. He is still here. I mean, we have the Bible, as it states here, God exalts him. His name is salvation. And if, as we go through our passages, you go back, well, in Acts, in the book of Acts, if you go to Acts chapter 4, you remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it states, neither there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So, family, Jesus is the key. He is the key to salvation. He has gone before us to prepare a place, and we have to get ourselves prepared here on earth. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's wonderful here. I mean, we have great things. I mean, you can wake up in the middle of the night and eat a bowl of Frosted Flakes and go to Walmart all night long. I mean, you can just go. But we have to realize that one day from where we are now, we will go. We will go one day. Just think about how loved ones before has gone before us. We have to cross that plane that they've already crossed. But even in then, we still have the judgment to deal with. Also, in the same book, if you go over to chapter 1, and if you go over to chapter 1 of Acts, and we can begin reading at verse 4, is as being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know at this time or season, which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto both me, both in Jerusalem, and all of Judea, and all of Samaria, and to the othermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, and when they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, and received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards the heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood there in white apparel and said, why ye men of Galilee, stand ye gazing into heaven? The same Jesus. Now this is the same Jesus that we just read about in Acts 4, verse 12. And who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So, family, we're going to go somewhere. Now, here on earth, when we bury our departed loved ones, we put them down. But when you look at God's word and what Jesus say, we're going to be lifted up. So, family, it is imperative that we get ourselves right. You might, let's do a reality check. You might leave here tonight and you be in a car wreck and you die. Well, maybe that's too hard. Let's try this. Remember of someone that you knew that was recently in a car wreck. You never had any idea, never thought for a minute that they would die like that in that tragic accident. But they never thought it either. But they're the one that's gone. My question is, do we know if they was ready? There was a situation on Highway 269 a couple of years ago, and it was so tragic it made the news, and I hope I can get it right, but there was a couple that just recently got married, recently had a newborn, and they was headed to make the transaction for their home, their first home that they was buying or something of that effect, but the father that was on the news, he said he begged them to listen, to leave the grandchild with them while they take care of the affairs and come back. But unfortunately, they were sitting at the stoplight. 269, if you don't know, is going through Inslee and going out towards Vermonport. Somehow or another, a tractor trailer ran completely over the vehicle, and it killed them all, the father, the mother, and the child. Family we never know. Now, this family was preparing for their new horizon in life, to go out to just to be a family, a knit family. But this tragic incident happened. The father lately said on the news, he said, if I would have had the grandchild, at least I would have had a bit of each one. And you know, and it was a touching story. But that's how serious it is when you look at your eternal destiny with God. We have to make sure, family, it's vital that we make sure that we are ready. We as Christians must take the loved ones and schoolmates and friends and coworkers or anyone who would listen. We have to take every opportunity we have to get them to the Bible and let them know about Romans 6:23. 6:23 states that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But there's a punishment for that sin if they continue to live in it. And that's a few chapters over in chapter 6, where the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is eternal. And that's what we're searching for, family, that eternal inheritance, that eternal gift that he has prepared for us. We live in a place that is better than the old. We have better means of transportation. Our homes, we live in different, we have different places to go shop. But the time is still ticking. It's not stopping. It's still ticking. And soon the time will run out. It's time for us to be wise about our souls and the souls of your children. The time is now. How much do we love them to let them go blindly in life, unequipped for their eternal destiny? In other words, the Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33 that we should seek first the kingdom of God. So those of you with children, of course, you'll raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. And when they become to that age of accountability, then they will have that choice for their life, because they will be accountable for their soul. Also, the sort of wisdom that is spent on wickedness is badly misspent. A life dedicated to mere employment and enjoyment and pleasure is a ludicrous, unprofitable enterprise. But on the other hand, a life that is spent serves to God is irreparably wise, and it not only provides quietions in this settlement and to settle your mind here on earth, but the joy of the expectation of eternal life, so beautiful, it is indescribable. Can you imagine having eternal life with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? No more worries, no more pain, no more hitting that time clock, grinding that gear. Now, if I'm out there on the road and I have a major accident and I take someone's life, according to the law, depending on the situation, how it all goes into play, if I was totally negligent, by law, they can call it vehicular manslaughter. And that'll be 2 years off the top automatically, minimum 2 years in prison. But if I was, everything lines up, and it was just an accident that happened, and someone's life is taken, now, my career would be over. I couldn't drive a commercial vehicle again. I couldn't drive. But, number one, I'm still living. And number two, I can just find another job. Might have to get two or three, but I'm still here. But family, when we lose, when we die, and we don't have our self set for this last eternal trip, day of judgment is going to be futile. Turn with me to Matthew real quick, Matthew chapter 7. This is a good passage, but these are the words that we don't really want to hear. In verse 21, it's 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, he just stated that his Father who is in heaven. So, it's in heaven. Now, verse 22 is dealing with, many may say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we cast out demons? And in thy name we did many works. 23 is the chill factor. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now this is the Savior who hung on the cross, died for our sins, will say at that time, I never knew you, like you never was here. No matter what your level in life is, the success in life that you had, I never knew you. Family, that's chilling. Now, you all see me and say, hey, that's Paul. Hey. But he said, I never knew you, like I was never here. Family, it's heart-wrenching to me. So we should, yeah, seriously walk on eggshells. I mean, life has a lot to throw at us. But we got to be careful as we walk our Christian walk. It's imperative for our eternal soul's rest. Also, in the Old Testament there, in 1 Kings chapter 3:3-9, it talks about Solomon, his sacrifice and prayer for wisdom, and God answered those that prayer that Solomon gave in verse 10 and 14. You know, like I said, this technology is really giving me. I forgot I had sideshows. But there is a much better place other than here on earth. It is prepared for all. Besides, we're just passing through. In 1 Peter, as it states, chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, but ye are a chosen priesthood, a royal chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a people of his own, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who in times past were not his people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts at war against the soul. Then you may have those who are troubled in heart. And we have a lot of people out there. But if you turn with me to John chapter 14, let's look at this real quick. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into my, to where I am, that where I am, that ye may be also. That where I go, ye know the way ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not where you goest, and how can we know? And Jesus answered, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that right there coincides with what we just read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Jesus is the key for salvation. Beloved, what is your goal? Goal is translated to the end. The goal toward which is moving is being directed. The outcome, a true discipleship of eternal salvation, of eternal life. As we read in Romans 6:23, if you would turn to the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter in Ecclesiastes, verses 13 and 14. It states, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be bad or whether it be evil. The goal, the outcome, the love, Christian love, agape, is the love of will. Pure heart refers to clean, free from moral guilt, good conscience, distinguishing right from wrong. Being born of God is not merely the movement you began to call yourself as a Christian, but the moment you become Christ-like, living as the Son leads eternal life in the Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this is in his Son. 1 John 5, 11, 13. Well, as a customer, it is here for us that as a lesson being presented, we always have the opportunity to invite you to Christ. Well, the lesson is yours, and I hope that the things that are said that will help you understand about your final trip for eternity. All things are made ready for you, and as with every lesson, we invite you to Christ. He has redeemed us back from with his own life, that we might live with him and the Father forever. So right now, at this moment in time, this is your opportunity to get your life right before God. In Luke 19:10, the Son of Man comes to seek and save which that is lost. Family, we have the plan of salvation. Sincere faith refers to unfeigned, genuine, being without pretense. We must demonstrate sincere faith. Don't be afraid to let your light shine. In Romans 10:17, family, if faith comes behind by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In Mark 16:15-16 gives a commission to the 11 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In Romans 10, verse 8 and 9, the word is near thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, and the word of faith which we preach, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart, and God raised him from the dead, thou might be saved. In Acts 2:37-38, after they were pricked in their heart, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remissions of your sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Also in Acts 22:16, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. But we're not done yet. As we recently read in Philippians chapter 2, 11 and 12, every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and work out your own fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, basically, the choice is yours. But I leave you with this. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body into his, to be made fat, to be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to do all things unto himself. My conclusion is this. Your final trip is highly important. Make sure you are prepared for this journey. Help all you can while you are here. Don't still carry the guilt and stain of sin. You can find cleansing through the obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So family, tonight, if you are here, we can help you in any kind of way. I encourage you, I beg you to come forward and make yourself right. We only got one chance at this thing. I want to go to heaven, and I'm sure you want to go to heaven. Hey, the scripture tells us that God wants us all to come. But he gave us a choice. And we can make that choice right tonight. And if we can help you, as we stand and sing the invitation song.